Okay, so good evening to everybody. So we will start, see the Shlo. I divided, there is a second caption, Sefer Shlo Kodesh, Sefer Bereshis, Parshas Bereshis, Torah Or. Ve'ata shimu elai utechi nafshachem. Okay? So says the Shlo, ve'ata shimu elai utechi nafshachem. Now listen to me and your life will be raised. You'll be able to, your neshama will have a special chiyus. I'm going to tell you a little bit of the secret of my separations. And I'll tell you also part of the secret of Shem Hashem. And also the Shem Eke, the Shem of Hashem, which says, I will be. V'shem eke betosefet vavur mas basuk shevira boi sharaba v'yitzel lo yamun. Okay. Kol main sebereishis. Take a look what it says. Hem kipshutoi batachtoinim. All main sebereishis relates to the lower spheres, to the lower world. Whenever we talk about main sebereishis, we talk about here. Now we'll soon see that as we move on, the tachtoinim at the time of main sebereishis is different than the tachtoinim today. So in other words, the lower world that we see today, which is the lower physical world, at the time of Mayim Sebereishis, the Ari already says, was the physical world was in a higher madrega than it is today. But as it is, it's talking always about the lower spheres, the lowest sphere. Achen medaber batachtoinim veromez ba'ilyoinim, says the Shlo. Whatever he talks about the lower worlds, it has a remez. It's already hinting to something in the higher world. Because the worlds, as we spoke about, they're connected. The physical and the lower worlds are reflections of the higher worlds. So whatever it says here in the lower sphere is a representation, a sign of something in the higher world. Says in the Ramban, Beinyan Gan Eden Varba Nehores. The same way we talk about the Garden of Eden and the four rivers, it is something manifested in the lower world, but is a representation of something much higher in the spiritual world. So all of my separations, and that's what we're going to learn, that we can concord my separations. Concord my separations is take my separations. Kipshuto, to take it on as at its simplest, lowest meaning. You can't do that, right? Because whatever it happens here is a reflection of something much higher in the spiritual realms. Hine me'asara mamores aruchaniot hanelamim. So from the 10 utterances, nishtalshe ishtalshus bi'erach v'shira digiyam La'asara mamores agashmi. The 10 utterances in their spiritual form, in their path, they become the physical mamores. Shem binyan oyla maze agashmi. Kiditna la'asara mamores divre oyla maze. V'nir b'bin oyla magashmi. So Yud now says like this. V'nir yenir maz binyan oyla magashmi. And therefore you could see the entire oyla magashmi. Besod Yud Shehu Alasora Mamores. So the Yud of the Asora Mamores, the Yud which represents, Yud is number 10, which relates to Asora Mamores, from the letter Yud alone, you could see the entire creation of the world. Ken ye lemaila besod aruchaniyut anelam. And this is not only true in the physical sense, this idea that everything is an expansion of the Yud, it's true also in the spiritual worlds. Umitchil akdim ma shekatav haramban rish bereisis v'relashoina. And to give an introduction, says the Shlo, let me introduce you what the Ramban explains in Bereishis. Nochu nuborer. We all know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu bara kol hanivraim yafisa mochletet. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the whole world ex nihilo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world from nothingness. Right? It's Yesh Me'ayin. V'ein etzlenu b'loshon hakoyed b'shoyes Me'ayin el habara. And the word used to create ex nihilo, the creation from nothing, in Hebrew, is the word bara. Bara, Breit Reish Aleph is the creation ex nihilo. V'ein kol ha'nase tachat Hashem u'zulemal hove me'ayin atchol ha'rishoina. So he says the Ramban the following idea. Nothing that exists, nothing of the physical reality comes from nothing. Every existence comes from something in between. So in other words, you do not have any material, any existence in the physical world that is ex nihilo. There's no such a thing. Says the Ramban like this. El aval hoitzi mi'efes agom ha'muchlat yisoidak me'oid en boi momash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, the Bria was the creation of something in between, which is called the physical matter or energy, which is something very, very fine and refined, which is the world in potential. He created, and that's so interesting because science today knows that the reality of the world that we have, our reality, it's not the reality. The reality comes from something much deeper, which in the quantum world is nothing but a probability tree. Right? It's some kind of a potential world. Huh? Exactly right. And this is what the Ramban would call. Take a look at what the Ramban says. The Ramban says that. Aval koch mamtzi muchan lekabel tzura. Exactly like. It's exactly the collider, which means is a potential wanting or waiting for a tzura, for a form to be given. Is the potential, is the matter or energy that still needs to be defined. The undefined surah. It's exactly the quantum probability, right? Velatzet min hakoach el hapoal. V'u achomer harishon. And this is called the original matter. Nikra levanim hiuli. That is koach hahiuli. The koach hahiuli is what's bria yesh me'ayin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all of the world that you see, our physical reality, it's not yesh me'ayin, it's yesh me'yesh. Always comes from this intermediary step, which is called the Chomer HaHiuli. Hiuli. Hey, Yud, Vav, Lamed, Yud. It's a Greek word. It's like halo, helium. That's the idea. The idea is that today in the quantum parlance is the probability, right? Is the world, if you go to very small, the matter, right? If you go beyond and below the atom, you realize that the world, it's a potential. It's almost like a mathematical equation. It's something in between. The physical reality is a manifestation of that. The world was created. Yesh me'ayin. Is the first the potential was created me'ayin, and the world is defining that potential. The reason why the Kadosh Baruch Hu create the world in such a form? Why the Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't create existence or reality me'ayin? Why did he have to create potential and that potential to define reality out of it? Why? But the answer is very simple. Why? Because all of life, it's just taking potential into reality. The world is potential, and all of order, what we are coming here for is to exercise and to redefine that potential. That's why in quantum, right, the potential is defined according to the measurer. However you measure it, you are defining it. The world is potential. Great potential that's for us to define. The Ramban is going to call that potential Tohu, and the definition of that potential it's called Bohu. So the world was created Tohu and Bohu. Tohu and Bohu are the only creation ex nihilo. We don't believe that anything else is ex nihilo. That is Bria. So that's why quantum, when quantum was found, for us is very real. Yes.
Yes. proves this out too in modern day, that the universe is constantly expanding.
Expanding, evolving, and that's the Ramban. That's already the Ramban. So the Ramban is talking about the physical world is that. You see, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the days in pairs, right? The days have pairs, and Shabbos didn't have a pair, and the pair are the Jewish people. So the Gro says, you always think that the pair is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's a mistake, says the Gro, that's not. The pairs are Sunday, Wednesday, Monday, Thursday, Kayadua, Monday, Thursday, and Tuesday, Friday. Why? Sunday, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created light. That's the potential. How did he channel and manifest light? Is on Wednesday he created the Meores. He created the stars, the sun, the moon, meaning the luminaries. In the second day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the water, the oceans. What is in the fifth day is the creation of fish. Maritime life was created on the earth, right? Dry land was created on Tuesday. What is created on Friday are the animals, and the animals which live in the physical, in the dry land, right? Potential into realization. That's why Shabbos is potential. Who realizes the potential of Shabbos is Klaus, or the Jewish people. So that's why he needed a mate. Even the physical relationship, male and female, the male gives the potential, and the female develops that potential. That's always that step in between the potential and the development of potential. That's why in Halacha, the Maral says that the father is called a father at the time of conception, and the mother is deemed the mother at the time of birth. So there is a timing difference between the two, because the male does his function by giving the potential. Once he gives the potential, the male has done his job. The female has to develop that potential. That's why Klal Yisrael, the humans, all human creation, is called the female, because we come to develop the potential of the world. By the way, this is the Chiddush of Dari, right? That this is that the world is potential, but the Ramban already says it. So that's why the world was created in potential. So says the Ramban, the only Bria that exists is the creation of this Chomer HaYuli, this potential of the world. Right? This is the only Bria Yesh Miayin, the Ramban says. And after the creation of Yuli, there's no more creation. Then there is a in-between. So that's why in Hebrew, Yesh Miayin, the creation of potential, is called Bria. And from then on, it's called redefining the potential, channeling the potential. In Hebrew, it's called Yatzar or Asa. Okay? Ki mimenu homtzi hakol v'yibish tzura letaken otam. And that's what says in Sefer Yetzirah, Yatzar mitohu mamesh. He created from the tohu mamesh. Right? V'asa eino yishno. He did. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created from the tohu. Now, why is potential called tohu? So the Ramban says tohu in Hebrew means regret. Tohi ala rishonis. And the reason is because potential is in itself regret. Because you know that if you come to define in any way, shape, or form, you regret because you could have defined it differently. So all the definition is called tohu because it's a process of regret. That's the process of tohu. Defining the tohu, when you come to defining to channel, it's called bohu. Bohu is in Hebrew, says the Ramban, bahu. This is what it is. And this is all of life. All of life is here, potential, but we're here to redefine and channel that potential in the world. And when you do, that's exactly what, this is the Schrodinger's cat. This is the whole idea that the world, until in science today, we know that until you come to measure the world, that is undefined, and it could be anything. Light, right? This is the famous paradox of light. Are light waves or particles? And you know that they are opposites. If you measure as a wave, it will react to you as a wave. If you measure as a particle, it's a particle. So that's why we have the light wave particle, what you call it, dilemma, or a wave particle controversy, because it behaves how you make it behave. So light, which is the beginning of creation because is energy, manifests itself in this duality, right? And that's how the Ramban says, tohu, you need to channel to turn it into bohu. Okay. Now here it says, v'irili shenikuda zot ilbisha hatz, because of void, the Ramban says like this, ancient Baruch Ramban, because of void, v'irili shenikuda zot ilbisha tzura v'eta bohu, this potential was given form and was called bohu. He shechachom kuremoisa even shesia. That's what's called even shesia. Even shesia. Even is avu ben Rasha says a neutrikun, goes from potential to existence, and shemimena hushtas kol olam kuli ad kan leshoine. Now, harei mitchila barak adosh baruch hu mevsa mochlek nukudad nikre b'loshon hakodesh tohu. Shem Baruch Hu created a point. The creation as the creation of that potential, which is in essence a point, and that's called tohu. Ubeloshon hachachomim, the Torah calls it tohu, chachomim call it even shesia. Ubeloshon haivoni, and in Greek it's called halo, this hiuli. V'ilbisha kudosh baruch hu oisa nekuda, and he took that nekuda, that point, that undefined point, v'ilbelatet latzura dehainu arba yesoides. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu defined it into the four basic yesoides of the world, V'az nispashta, and then he came to go ahead and he expanded it. Umashaya tohu nikra bohu b'loshon bohu. So tohu, which was that nekuda, became bohu. V'achakach nispashta b'yoyser, and then it was just a mitosis, just a creation and expansion. Ora v'rocha b'yuchdesh miyesh. Until then, it becomes more and more defined, more and more physical. V'in lecha davar pe'ula she'inu me'arba yesoides. And everything comes to the four yesoides. So the four, the DNA, always like this, right? You take the DNA, and the DNA becomes a reality. It's always potential becoming more and more defined, more and more limited, more and more, what you call it, more and more channeled. V'kol ze nirmas bayud. The choymer ha'yuli, if you see, is the letter yud. Ki be'asora mamores nivra ho'ilam. The yud represents asora mamores. That's why the yud is the potential of the asora mamores. Hine tichtov yud b'miluo. And you could see this entire process from the letter yud. Because if you take the letter yud and you spell out yud, how do you spell out yud? Yud, vav, and dalet. Okay? Inyan gidre obezoife. And now here it is. Yud. The yud is a nekuda. The vav is the nekuda expanding into length, and the dalet le'or ve'rochav, it expands not only from length, it goes into two dimensions. So if you look at the yud, is yud and nekuda, it becomes one dimension, becomes beginning and end, expands, and it becomes two dimensions, which is the dalet. So yud, vav, dalet is that process of the redefinition, of expansion of that potential. And that's the letter Yud that you have in the letter Yud itself. Od miruma, now, od mirumas biyud bimiluoi dan gidri olam bezeof, and Rav Yehuda Chayat, kosa besifroi. Rav Yehuda Chayat was one of the earliest mikubolim. He writes besifro shev Rabbi Zil, kol nekuda ba bishloish kotarim orev v'roch v'oimek. Every nekuda has three dimensions, which is length, width, and depth. How can you say that a point has what you call it? It has defined expansions, which is the what you call it, which is length, the width, and the depth. That's impossible. The nekuda is a point, has nothing with that. So the Ramak explains the following. Our physical reality has three dimensions, which is length, width, and depth. Everything the physical that we can relate to has three dimensions. כי הם גדרי הגוף. ואילו יצואר שני גדרי הגוף לבדם שם אורך ורוחב ולעומק יקרה שטח. So the physical reality is three-dimensional. The dual dimension, when it's only length and width, that's called in Hebrew shetach, it's called space, it's called plane. The physical reality is three dimensions, the plane is two dimensions. וכאשר יצא גדר הגוף אחד בלא שהוא האורך ולא הרוחב. Now what happens if you have only one dimension? In Hebrew it's called kav, it's called a line. A line, a space which is a plane, and an object. Object, three dimensions, the plane, two dimensions, the line, one dimension. Now he says like this, Pirush kav ha'orech v'shalah merokh v'kol shkemeom, v'kashe nitzeh shila shloshet gdir haguf. Now if you want to see something which doesn't have neither length, nor width, nor depth, how is that Hebrew called? It's called a point. That's called a nekuda. So the nekuda is the existence without any of the dimensions. One dimension in Hebrew is called a line, it's called kav. Two dimensions is called a plane, it's called shetach. Three dimensions is called the physical reality. Huh? The nekuda is only conceptual. Okay. The nekuda is not something that you could put in anything. It's potential. It has... Yes, but the mass is almost non-existent. It's conceptual, right? Because once it has mass, it has to have three dimensions. You just have to look it up. But this is called what's called the theoretical nekuda. Now he says like this. והעניין שאין לה לא אורך ורוח ולומר. ולא מיני שיכולה להיות במציאות, אלא נקרא נקודה צוראית. It's not physical. It's only a conceptual point. A point is not something physical, right? Because physical, you could see, it needs to have a dimension, right? To be able to grasp. A point is not a dimensional. It's not a dimension. You can't grasp. You could only conceptualize. So it's called a conceptual point. ונמצא, now, ורצה לומר, שתו שביל את זה, אוקיי, ואם כוונה הזאת תובן, כוונת הביודה שהשיגה רבי לזיר, שדבור אף סויסרים, אומר נקודה בשלושה כתרים, וזה אי אפשר. That's why it's a kasha. If you tell me that the nekuda has three dimensions, it's a violation, because a nekuda point has no dimensions. שנקודה אין לאורך ולא אורך, שבסוף הוא פירושו כמו שביארנו, כי סוף הקו שהוא גם כן שלט האור, ונמצא כאן נקודה בלא כתרים כלל. ואומרו שהוא סוף הקו, אינו מוסכם במעלה התכונה, כי שום משהו שתי נקודה, זה יותר קיבוץ אם יעשה קו. Now the question is the point, the beginning or the end of the line, that's a separate issue, עד כאן לשוינן. ואין... Is that right? The line can go on infinitely. Is that right? There's no, but there is a point to start. Right? But then once it becomes infinite, it's not a line anymore. Because you realize the concept of the line, we're going to learn that that's called the Tzimtzum. In the Tzimtzum, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the line. But the line has huge issues. But the line, in, by nature, has to be limited. It has to be finite. It has to be a beginning and an end. Why? Because that is, it technically doesn't. But the Nekuda, the line that we're talking about is that. But let's not go into the line that I don't want. First, I want to go into the point. So take a look at what he says. ויהיה נקודה צורית או לא צורית נימה בזאת יוד. The letter יוד starts with the point. That's the letter יוד itself. כי אפילו צורית היא מבחינת צאת על הפועל להיות גשמית. It's the beginning, even though it's conceptual, but the יוד represents that beginning. And that's why the יוד, all the שיעור that we're talking about is the creation of the יוד. Because the יוד is the beginning of all creation, is the potential, right? That has, that nekuda, when the Ramban talks about in the physical sense, that there is the hiuli, there is that potential matter that was created, right, which is in quantum, is perhaps that, there's so many words to define it, but that potential of the world, in the concept is the nekuda of the yud. The yud is that potential. That's why Basar Morris. Yes. We are going to talk about it. Not the dot above the yud, we'll talk about the keter. The keter is the kutzo shel yud. That's what they spoke last week. Kutza shel yud is the kutz above the yud. Because keter is that non-existence that above the physical, above the line. Above the dot, there is a nekuda. That's what they spoke last week. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew, created a reality, but he didn't want to fool us that that's the reality. He created a reality that we know that there is something beyond. Okay, so that is the kutzo shel yud. But the yud is the beginning of reality, is the potential, is that point. Right? That's why the yud looks like a little point. Now, the ois vav hukav, and the letter vav is the line. Or dalet, the letter dalet, is the plane, is the two dimensions. In Chazal, the same way that in the physical, you have three steps of development. The yud is the point to the line to the plane, right? One dimension, no dimensions, the yud. The vav, one dimension. The dalet, two dimensions, right? Which is the beginning of creation. There is such a dimension in spiritual sense also. The non-dimension, one dimension and two dimension. So says the Shlo like this. Yud nekoda shei ha-chochma. Yud represents chochma. Chochma is koyachma, is the eureka moment, is the potential that you have an idea, but it's not defined. It's like, it's almost experiential. That is the yud. The yud is the chokhmah, which is koyachma, which is keneged the yud of Shem Shamayim. Okay? Yud b'shem havaye, v'kro b'zoyar, and the Zohar calls that yud, and that you should remember, nekuda chada stimto ilo. That's one point which is hidden and very holy. That's the beginning of all creation. The Gilui Shem Shamayim is Gilui Chochmah. That's why Chochmah is called Rishis, right? It's called always Rishis Chochmah. And that's what we saw 2 weeks ago, if anybody remembers. There are two Rishis, right? This is the second Rishis. There's a Rishis that's the beyond knowledge. But the beginning of knowledge, which is the potential of all knowledge, the Eureka moment, it's called Chochmah, which is Keneged the Yud Shem Shamayim, Keneged the Dat. Vereishis HaMachshova, Soif ha-mainseh. And in that machshova, on the yud, you had already the entire creation, the hainu milu yud, which is the vav and the dalet. The yud in itself, which is that nekuda in potential, has already the vav and the dalet. And as you see, the vav and the dalet is the creation of Ometzius. And you'll see what he says. Soid du partzufim, the dalet and the vav. What Chazal called those are the two partsufim of the world. Those are the two faces of the world. Shem Tiferes u'malchus klal abinyan. The Dalet and Vav is the whole binyan. The whole binyan is spiritual. Right? Is the Yud, the potential. And then you have a Dalet and a Vav. Dalet and Vav is the male and female of all creation in the spiritual sense. The Vav is the male, and the Dalet is the female. In Chazal, that is called Tiferes and Malchus. This is the code du partzufim of the world. The world was created, this potential and development, right? Male and female. Those are the basic powers of the world that the world was created. That's why the world was created, I told you, with a base. And I mentioned, if anybody remembers from the shurim before, the Maral. The Maral comes and says that there is voices of Rebbe Akiva. Voices of Rebbe Akiva says that all the letters came to Hashem to be used to create the world. And the Aleph came, and Hashem says, I can't use you, Aleph, because the word Or, which is cursed, starts with an Aleph. So then the base came, and the base says, okay, you deserve to be created the world of you, because the word Baruch starts with a base. And the Maral asked, we saw before, what does that mean? Not the Maral, I'm sorry, the Ibn Ezra asks, what do you mean? You tell me that there are no bad words that start with the base. There is burcha, buta, there's so many words. It lists a whole bunch of words. So he says, this marriage makes no sense. Meaning you punish the aleph because the word curse starts with an aleph and you allow the base to get the world because burcha starts with the base. I can find you very nice words that start with an aleph and terrible words that start with the base. That's unfair. So the Ibn Ezra says in the Akdamot of the Chumash, if you see in the Akdamot of the Chumash, it says, I'll never use such midrashim. The midrashim makes no sense. So the Maral says the Ibn Ezra missed the point of the Medrash. The reason what he's saying is, the Medrash is saying that the word Aleph is cursed because base, which is brocha, means ribui, means multiplicity. Base is the beginning of duality, of two, right? Multiplicity. This world is a world of duality. That's why the word borech means multiplicity, means ribui, because borech, if you look at the numerical value, is 222. It's number two in units, tens and hundreds. Aleph is cursed because there's no multiplicity. It's away from brocha. That's why Aleph, Begimatri, is 111, 111, right? Aleph, Aleph, Lamed, Bey, is 111. That's what the Medrash means. The base is Baruch, not because the word Baruch starts with the base, but because base is Baruch in itself, because it's multiplicity, it's diversity. The beginning of the world is a world of duality. The binary world is the yesod of creation. This is in the Yud. The Yud is the Nekuda, and from that Nekuda, in potential, you have the binaries of the world. What is the binary of the world? Is the Dalet and the Vav, which is Tiferes and Malchus. And you're going to see how that is Givaldic. But this is the Du Partsufim of the world. Dalet is Malchus, Vav is Tiferes. Right, Vav, right, the woman is, Chazal always say that she's like a migdal, she's like a plane, and the Vav is the connection, is the one that gives that potential, that takes the Yud down. Right? That's the one. We're going to see that this is the Du Partsufim of the world. The Du Partsufim of the world is this male and female forces, which is the base of the world, this duality. That's the binary, the one and the zeros. Right? The world and the zeros, this is the basic of the world. That's the basis in spiritual sense, in physical sense. That's it. So the Yud is that Nekuda in between, which is the potential. What's the potential? The Vav and the Dalet. It's called the Du Partsufim, Tiferes and Malchus. Okay? We're going to see how this is so true. Take a look at there, he says. Atiferes ukav hispashtus, the line, which is the hashpo, the giving over, the emanation, is the Vav. Right? The Vav is the Yud extended. And Malchus are the Mekablim, is the Shetach, which is the Dalet. Okay? Vedrush ze mevuar bimkoim baruka. This is explained, and you see that all of life is this. Is Tiferes, the Dalet and the Vav interacting. That's why there's always the male, the powers of the male and the female. The one, the giver and the taker. The giver, the sun, and the moon. The sun is the one that gives the light. The moon takes and reflects it. Always, this duality is all over the world. This world, there's nothing of one. If somebody comes to you and says, listen, I have something which is one of a kind, you know that the guy is defrauding you. He's cheating you. There's no such a thing as one of a kind. Because the world in its source is dual, is binary. It's du partsufim. It's a giver and a taker. That's why always the ultimate relationships, let's say a chover, is the one that gives and takes. You cannot only give and you cannot only take. You have to be a giver and a taker. Always the ultimate tzedakah. What is the ultimate tzedakah? Is to give somebody a job. Why? Because by giving a job, you're giving and taking. You're giving him a job and you're taking his work. That is the relationship. It's always this dual relationship. And this is the Dalet and the Vav, which are included in the Yud, which is the potential of creation of the world. Okay? So he says like this. V'eilu du nisparzim al de abina. Now, the Dalet and the Vav, how does the Dalet and Vav come from the Yud? So says it comes from the Bina, which is the Hei Harishoyna min Hashem. If you look at the Yud Kei Vav Kei, right? Yud Kei Vav Kei, there is, as you'll see, there is a Hei right after the Yud. Hey is when you take and you make something to happen. Right? Hey, it's called Bina. It's Dovar Mitoich Dovar. So you're taking the Yud and making it real. Bina, Rashi says in Chumash, on the Pasuk in Parshas Kisisa, Chachomim unevoinim, what's Bina is mevin dovar mitoich dovar. Somebody who takes something and makes it bigger, expands the idea. You have the Eureka moment, you've got to develop into an idea. You've got to give meat to it, right? The person has an idea, then he says, okay, let me just think about how to bring it into reality, right? Somebody who's, so that you have like an inspirational moment, and then you've got to make it happen. You have to give form to it. Hey is that. So hey is called Bina. He's going to explain the following. You know how hey is Bina? Hey, you could write. Hey is what's called a composite letter. What does it mean, a composite letter? Hey is made out of two letters together, a dalet, and the little one. There are two ways of writing, either with a yud or with a vav. There is a dalet, there's a hey, which is a dalet with a vav, and there is a dalet hey, which is a dalet with a yud. Right? That's how two ways of writing a hey. So you realize that the hey is nothing but the dalet and the vav of the dalet and the yud. So the yud has the hey. The hey is just putting it together, breaking it apart and creating and combining it together. So that's what he says. So take a look what he says. Ken kishetachniz vav l'tocha vav l'tocha dalet. If you take the vav and the dalet, the vav and the dalet is that being binary powers, right? If you put the two together, what letter does it come out? It's the hey. Kimvor b'mkoyim baruka. So Ksav Ashuris, okay, let me tell you, explain to you what is Ksav Ashuri. Ksav Ashuri, as you know, in the ancient Hebrew, it's called Ksav Libunoa. It's called the Hebrew script, right? And the Hebrew, the old ancient Hebrew script, it's in essence, if you know, it's a pictograph. You know the pictograph? It's a picture representation of the letters. Lemoshal, the letter Mem. How is the letter Mem written in Hebrew? In old ancient Hebrew, is a wave because of Amayim. The Aleph is like an ox because Aleph means an ox. How does the base look like? Like a house, a little house. That's the base. What does the Yud look like? Yud look like a hand because of Yad. And so on and so forth. It's a pictograph. That's called the ancient Hebrew. Ksav Ashuri, which is the Yud that we have and the Vav and the Dalet, all this stuff comes in. It's called the Assyrian Ksav. Machloik is in the Gemara, why? Either because it came from Ashur, it came from Assyria, so it's the Assyrian Ksav, or it's a Miusher Sebeksovim. Ksav Ashuri means this is the holiest and the most, I would say, lucky, or the one which is the most established of all the scripts. So the Rishonim explained that there's no Machloikis, that when the Torah was given and the word the Luchas, or when we had the original Sefer Torah that was kept in the Mishkan, right, in the Aron Abris, was for sure written Ksav Ashuri. Because Ksav Ashuri allows you to darshan and to understand, that's the Ksav that tells you everything about all the secrets of the world. But it was too much of a holy Ksav, so people did not use this. And the reason is very simple, because if you know, Torah Shebal Peh, Torah Shebal Peh is the ability to extract ideas from that Ksav. The Jews did not accept Torah Shebal Peh until when? The Gemara says until the time of Purim. So they were not given Ksav Ashuri. So Ksav Ashuri was kept in the Beis HaMikdash, but the Ksav the people used was a pictograph called the Hebrew, the ancient Hebrew. When they came back and they were mekabel Torah Shebal Peh in Purim, they got the ability to extract wisdom from the alphabet. And that's Ksav Ashuri. So it came from Ashur, or Bilshash Miksovim, is the same thing. The idea is that from then on, it became used. So the Assyrians brought it and allowed, the Chazal understood that Hashem is allowing us to use that Ksav on a common basis. That's how Sefer Torah has Ksav Ashuri today. But all this secret wisdom comes from Ksav Ashuri. You realize from Ksav Ivri, you can't learn anything. Because it's a pictograph, it's picturing something else. It's like, I always say, it's called apophatic. Apophatic, you're talking away from it. Ksav Ivri doesn't say anything, right? It represents a Ksav, right? It's pictures of a Ksav, because they were trying to say that there was another Ksav. So here, Ksav Ashuri. So in Ksav Ashuri, the Hey is a composite letter, which is the Dalet and the Vav, or the Dalet and the Yud.
But isn't okay? The
Vav, absolutely. All the, there are many letters which are composite. The Yud is the only non-composite. The Yud is a Nekuda. As you soon see, there are three parts of the Yud, but the Yud is a Nekuda. So the Yud is a Nekuda. If you spell it out, it has the Hey in it, because it has the Vav and the Dalet, and the Vav and the Dalet is the Hey. So the Hey is the interaction between the Zohar and the Keva, which is, that's why Isha has a Hey, because the Isha creates that relationship with the husband, V'l'ishech Chukosech, which is the Dalet and the Vav interaction between the two. Now, the interaction could be Dalet and Vav, could be Yud and Dalet. Those are the two Heys that we have written. So says the Shlo, take a look at this, all says. Ve'ilu du nispash le diabina shehir shunim Yashem, kim shetach nizvov le toch dalet sehei, kivu amiku baruka. Ve'ine zois Yud chochma shenikuda, ine soid yesh mi'an kenoida. The Yud is the creation of Shem Shomayim. Shem Shomayim, when there was the gilu of Hashem from nothingness, ex nihilo, the same way that in the physical world was what? The Hiyuli, which is the point. In the Gilui Shem Shomayim is the Yud. The Yud is the Gilui Shem Shomayim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in the Yud, you have the Yud Kivavke. In the Yud itself. Just think about it, right? Because Yud Vav Dalet, Yud and Dalet plus Vav is Yud Kivavke. Yud Dalet plus Vav. Right? So in other words, if you combine Yud Vav Dalet, you have Yud Kivavke. You have two Heys, one Hey with a Vav, one Hey with a Yud. That's why he says, Shem Shomayim, all the Gilui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Yud. The Yud is the beginning of Gilui Shem Shomayim. Take a look at it, says, V'drush, okay, V'elu dad for the bina sheher, sholet ach devot ahir, okay, V'hine zois Yud chochma she nikuda yisoid yesh me'an kenoida. Ki keser, that kutsa shel Yud, above the Yud, keser, which is the first of the spheres, kayadua, we spoke before, is ayin, that's not a knowledge. Yud nikra yesh, that's the beginning of a yesh. V'achochma me'ayin timotze. Chochma is the only one that comes from ayin. So the yud is the only creation me'ayin. Ki loy me'mitziusei mikesa nikra ayin ro'mez mikutsa shel yud. So there is something beyond, which is called the keser that we spoke before, the first rashis. But the yud is the beginning of existence, the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of gilu shem shomayim. This is the beginning of the yud. Shu yud nikudat sir zikudat yud shi mechochma. Kisham ein keter kishem ayin beketer loyitze bipshitus al mitzafor lechochma vabina. Okay, and that will say something unbelievable. So let's just look at what we saw. The beginning of creation of yesh is the nikuda, which is in Chazal. It's called chochma. That is where Kadosh Baruch Hu showed, and that's how we saw 2 weeks ago and 4 weeks ago. The chochma is called Reishis. The beginning of everything is called Chochma, Reishis Chochma. But Chochma, which number of the spheres is it? Does anybody remember? Is it number 2? So Keser is number 1, but it's called Ayin. But in the Yud, there's no physical representation of the Keser. What's the physical representation of the Keser? Is the Chupchik above the Yud. Because you can only know what you don't know by knowing something. So the Keser is almost by default. There's no keser. You can't know what you don't know. So the Namoritz feels that he knows everything. The bigger Talmud Chochem is the more that you don't know something. So the keser is only a tritzor, is only a result of the yud. That's why the keser is a addendum, is a kachupchik above the yud. That's why the nikud above the yud. That's the nikud above the yud. So keser, which is the first. So there are two rashis. There are two beginnings. One beginning is the dot, yud. And one beginning is the yud. When you have the dot, you realize there is something beyond. I told you, is kibiyochol the Truman Show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts it in here and tells us, don't be fooled that this is all to know. Like the more you know, the more you realize that you're missing something. That is the beauty of the world. So that's why that ratio of the keser is really the yud. So the yud is the beginning of creation. Because the yud has a little chupchik above the yud to tell me that there is something beyond that you don't know. I'm revealing you here, but realize that more than I'm revealing, the more you know, the more you realize that you don't know. So this is the whole world, the revelation of the yud. That's chokhmah. And that's the beginning of creation of the physical. There is potential, and potential the world created. That potential in spiritual form, when Hashem revealed himself, he revealed himself in the yud. That's called the Nekuda. And the Nekuda he revealed to us with a little chupchik above to say, I'm revealing you, but the more you know about me, the more you realize how much little you know about me. You'll never be fooled to think that you know everything. And that is called the two rishis. So the two beginnings, the yud and the kutsu shel yud. So that's what we saw 2 weeks ago and 4 weeks ago. The brishis is base rishis. So that's why the gross says, you know what the creation of the world is? Is the nekud inside the base. Bereshis, there is a dot inside the base, the gusha. This is the creation of the world. The creation of that yud, which is the nekud inside the base. That is the soid hadover of this world. And once you understand the yud, all of the world is just the yud in mitosis. But it's a yud which is growing, growing, growing. But in the world, in Yesoid, is only a yud. That's why a yid and a yud is always the same, right? Because we see a Jewish person, a yid, right? Right? And that's like, this is what it is. This is who we are. This is it, right? The yud is, that's chokhmah. And that's why the Kabbalah always say that that nikud of the yud is the Shem Shamayim. This is it. And this is the creation. So the same way that in the physical reality is always Bria is the Chomer Hayuli. The Bria of Yesh Me'ayin is only the yud. The yud kivov kishem shomayim is only a derivation of the yud. It's only the yud expanding. Yud expanded itself to become. And that's why the Shem Shomayim, right, Yud Kivovki, the ultimate form, which we saw 2 weeks ago, that's why people have to remember, right? The Shem of 72 is the Shem Yud Kivovki with 4 Yudim. Right? So this is the idea of the whole world is a big Yud. And why Basora Mamoras Nivra Ha'olam? Is that clear to everybody? And we're going to see here. Kishem Ayin beketer, the keter which is called Ayin, lo itzdak bipshitusoy. You can't understand Ayin to say nothingness. You can't understand. Ela bitstarfus lechochma veabina. Ve'atam kilo itzdak la dovar shiusak chiyu bitzius asogas miktsas v'nishla asogas zu ma'hiv yashivu shiu dovar biltibusak. It's only possible to know what you don't know if you know something else. If you don't know anything, so that's not mamaratzus. The more you know, the more you know what is there not to be known. Right? The unknown. Something that you cannot understand at all, that's not ayin. V'keter b'yuta soga v'ashein v'keter. I'm sorry. V'keter. למיות הסוג הבא, שאין הסוג התחתוי בכלל, הוא יתחייב השום הסוג בחילס על המצב, ולא בחילס על הנצל. שהוא שיתוף עם החוכמה, והבינה נקרא, אין אונו את חוכמה עם בינה, כאן סנאין כאן כוס בפרדס, שער פרדל ומשער צד הצילוס. And that's what the Ramak writes in שער הפרדס. Right? So this is what it says. אוי נסקוון. And we'll start a little bit. Yes, it's 10:06. So next week, Moshem will go. And what he'll say. That this is Yud Kei Vav Kei is always in the Yud. Because Yud is Yud Vav Dalet, the Vav in the Yud. And then you have a Hey, two Heys. One Hey is the Dalet with the Yud, one Hey is the Dalet with the Vav. And Leosid Lovoi, Bayomau Yia Shem Echod Shmo Echod, Shem Shamayim is not going to be Yud Kei Vav Kei, it will be Yud Hey Yud Hey. And we'll talk about it. Because this is the Tikkun of the Yud. Okay? And so, and this is something so practical because in life, you realize that we are interacting always with this yud because there's always potential and the development potential, the male and the female, which I told you, Michael Lewis just came up with a book. Okay, it's supposed to be a very good book. You remember I told you, Thinking Fast and Thinking Slow? So he he wrote a book. This guy, Michael Lewis, I just finished to say just something light for you to know. Michael Lewis wrote a book called Moneyball. Moneyball is showing how you could go ahead and choose baseball players based on statistical work. And he was going to go and explain the statistical work that humans are very biased and you have to take away the bias. So somebody tells him, listen, your work is very cool, but you should know that this is the work of two great psychologists, which I mentioned to you before, Kahneman and Tversky. Kahneman and Tversky is the Dalad and the Wolf, Kayadua. So he, this guy, just wrote now, just came out this month, it came out. Huh?
I ordered last night. David Brooks' column on Friday was about this.
David Brooks and Vanity Fair had an article on this, or Michael Lewis, the next of the book. Yeah. And he was fascinated by these two guys. And he says, listen, these two guys, but if anybody learned this year, and you're going to read Michael Lewis's book that just came out, you realize that they are talking the same language. Because he says these two guys, Tversky and Kahneman, which one? They were like a husband and wife. There was no physical relationship, but they were husband and wife. And if you today understood the Dalad and Wolf, which is in the youth, you're going to read that book and you're going to say, oh my God Almighty, this is unbelievable. Michael Lewis just wrote the Michael Lewis. Why? Because these two guys won the Nobel Prize. They only do ever, the two psychologists that won the Nobel Prize in economics. Right? They were not economists. Their work changed the world. Bringing the behavioral economics changed the world. And Michael Lewis tells you they could only come up with that book because the two of them working together, which is the Dalad and the Wolf. And if after you learn the shiur, if you don't chazer and learn that book, you realize that that's it. Sakuzbok created a world which is so amazing that in the spiritual senses, in the most Kabbalistic, like, it's so real in day-to-day life that somebody who gives the Nobel Prize could appreciate that. And Michael Lewis says, wow, I could never, and he was so fascinated about the book that he wrote about these two guys working together. And he himself says they were two sons of rabbis. Not sons of rabbis, they were scions of rabbi, rabbinical families. One of them is a Hasidic guy, Tversky, and the other was Kahneman, which is from the Panovich of the Litvish. So the Litvish and the Hasidim, if you know, is exactly the Wolf and the Dalad. Kayadua. But Michael Lewis saying that. So after you wrote the shiur, you say, wow, this guy Michael Lewis is really good. His analysis is unbelievable. Okay, you read it, and I think this will be a very good exercise how to see all these old ideas. And I think that this is the truth of Torah, that you could learn Kabbalistic ideas and you realize that people not knowing anything about it will see this world is acting this way, and people, because they can't see those powers working themselves, they get fooled again and again and again, and they make the wrong decisions. And that's why Moneyball, which became a very famous book, it became a movie, comes to the story of actual baseball team that used this idea to select baseball players, and they were extremely successful by using this theory of the Wolf. Have a great one.